are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rotino, and you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're going to be taking some of your questions, and then we're also going to be looking at the biggest weaknesses in on this Brewers team, the holes that they need to fill in order to not only win the NL Central, but to make a run in the postseason. So make sure you stick around for that, and then we'll do a quick review of preview of this upcoming series with the Cincinnati Reds. Before we get into that, let me tell you about our Locked On MLB podcast. Join a walking baseball encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from Locked On MLB's network's team of local experts. Oh, by the way, somebody special will be on the podcast on Tuesday in yours truly, so make sure you check that out. For insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today where you get your podcast. And Vinny, before we get into questions and talking about the weaknesses of this Brewers team, one big weakness of the season for the Brewers has been Keston Hiura and the roller coaster. I wouldn't even say it's a roller coaster. It's more just been a nosedive of a season for Keston Hiura continues as he has been demoted once again to AAA on Monday. Not much of a surprise. We talked about it the other day, the possibility of this happening. And now that is the case. He's been optioned back to AAA. He was 2-for-29 with 16 strikeouts after returning from the minors. Vinny, I mean, your kind of thoughts on the Keston situation? You know, I know he was really looking good in AAA when they called him up, but I even thought at the time maybe that was rushing things a little too quickly. I mean, anybody can get hot in a week. I think this time it'd be more beneficial, let him stay down there for a full month or so and kind of work on some things.
He even said it himself that he was he didn't even feel that good when he came back, when he was raking in AAA, which – again, is a testament to how talented this kid is. So he's not even feeling that good. And he had an OPS of like 1700 in like 30 at-bats. Again, it's, I mean, the kid is ultra talented. I agree wholeheartedly. Let him stay down there. Let him kind of make even some adjustments if that's what he needs. I really don't know what he needs. I do think it's like a mental kind of block once he gets back up to the big leagues. So just let him kind of clear that out of his system like completely. And then I think they were just trying to take a shot at it of like, okay, maybe he got it out of his system and let's see what he looks like coming back. I don't think it backfired in any way. I don't think you can get much more like lower confidence than he probably feels right now. So I think let him clear it and then let him come back in a month. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, go down to Nashville, Keston, get things figured out, and get your headspace right. You're too talented to be struggling like this. And, you know, I'd talk on this as if Keston's listening to this. Hopefully he is. And as for the Brewers, just give the guy some I know he is. Give the guy some time to figure it out. I mean, he's too talented to be struggling the way that he has. And he's so big for the future of this team. You know, let's make sure that he works out whatever kinks he's going through and can come back strong. And the other part of that too is, I mean, there's so much pressure on him to produce because this offense, I mean, let's be honest, needs him to produce. I mean, he was the guy that was supposed to protect Christian Yelich in the lineup, and you know, nobody has really stepped up to fill that spot yet. And, you know, Keston, the most obvious choice. And even with his struggles, he still seems like the most obvious choice, but that's just a lot of pressure on him. you know, let's give him some time in AAA to work on some things, you know, mechanically, mentally, and hopefully he can come back in the second half and be a big part of the lineup like we were expecting. That was really the only news on Monday worth mentioning. So we'll dive into the only question that we got. I know we've had a lot of mailbags here lately. It seemed like the Brewers had a ton of off days, which that's about to change. They're about to go on a long run of games. But Dorito McChicken, great Twitter handle there, says, how do you feel about pitchers batting in the eight hole? With Wong out, I'd like to see Urias at nine and Yelly at leadoff. So, Benny, first question to you. How do you feel about pitchers batting eight?
I never understood it. I know Tony La Russa always did. It always felt like he was trying to outsmart everybody. It just, to me, it just gets that pitcher's spot in the order in the lineup just one spot sooner, which you don't really want.
I mean, I've seen it backfire.
What do you got on that?
Yeah, no, I've seen it backfire because kind of what you said, like, okay, well, the middle of order gets on base and, you know, you're just a batter away from getting to the pitcher spot and getting out of it even sooner, you know? So
yeah,
I think it tends to backfire more than it helps. I mean, maybe if you had a starter that wasn't going to be around as long, like maybe use an opener or something. I don't know, but hey, I've never really understood, you know, I've never really understood the advantage there of putting the pitcher in the eight hole. Like I said, I think it takes away a big RBI opportunity, you know.
I think lineups too, Jake. I think lineups too are just, they fluctuate so quickly nowadays. I think guys aren't like locked in. Back in the day, okay, I'm batting fifth and I'm playing left field. Just pencil that in for the next 6 months. Like, I feel like guys used to think like that. And now with analytics and matchups and who's pitching and the, you know, how many lefties they have in the bullpen available for the other team that night, you know, like it's just so fluid now in lineups. So I feel like guys are just like, okay, just bat me wherever I'm ready, you know? So I don't think that's much of a factor anymore.
Yeah. That's probably been one of my biggest, I don't want to say complaints, but like frustrations with Craig Counsell. Is just because I'm still that old school mindset of, hey, here's my 1 through 9 every day. Keep rolling it out there, you know. But that's not the way the game is played today. You know, like you said, with analytics.
Discussion. Yeah, that's a good discussion. Does that hurt guys' mindsets? Like maybe that helped guys' mindsets knowing that they were going to be penciled in the lineup 6 days a week in the exact same spot playing the exact same position.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you got on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, again, I'm kind of the older school mindset. I you know, I've heard hitters say that before, you know, it gives them a peace of mind knowing where they're going to be every day. As we've talked about, baseball players are so routine. You know, it's nice to not have to really come into the ballpark every day and, okay, wonder, you know, first of all, am I playing, you know, because they have a lefty on the mound today and I'm a lefty. So am I going to get to play today? And if I am, where am I going to be in the lineup? So, I think it's turning to the point where, you know, players just understand that's the way the game's going. And so I think they probably feel a little bit more comfortable with it now, but yeah, I think it's definitely could hurt a lot of players out there who are so routine oriented and used to knowing where they're going to be every day. So again, that's why it's kind of been a frustration with me kind of covering Craig Counsell and seeing the way he maneuvers the lineup. I think he tries to overthink it a little too much, but at the same time, I mean, he's one of the best managers in baseball for a reason, so can't really fault him for that. But just talking about the lineup in general, I mean, to Craig Counsell's defense, he hasn't had much to work with this year. I mean, not only has the lineup not been producing, but there's just been so many injuries in the lineup. I mean, I'm sure he would love to have Wong and Kane and Yelich and healthy all year, and you just plug them in as your top three, you know, at the top, and then fill in with Avi behind him and the rest of the, and Omar Narvaez and the rest of the guys there. I mean, that would be ideal. Unfortunately, Counsell just hasn't had that luxury this year because of all the injuries. So I think he's trying to be as creative as he can and mix and match the guys that he has to put the best lineup out there every night. It's just, it's not an easy task right now.
Great point. Great point. You know, I mean, if everyone's healthy, everyone is in their physical and age prime, then be real easy to set that lineup. You're right. And if everyone was hit, you know, hot and hitting how they are capable of hitting or how they've hit, you know, historically in their careers, you know, you would have, like you said, either Wong or Lo Kane at the top, then the other guy, whoever's not at the top, batting second, Yelich, Avi, Omar Narvaez, you know, Shaw. Yeah, I mean, that lineup writes itself, but reality is guys have been hurt. Guys haven't performed. Got to try and piece it together best you can and try and scrape across. Literally try and scrape across four runs and the Brewers win. Yep. I mean, that four-run mark is the magic number we talked about. So, no, it's a really good point.
Yeah, good question there from Dorito McChicken. Thank you for submitting that.
Love in that Twitter handle. Yeah, and you absolutely were making fun of my Twitter handle yesterday, at Vinatino, which is very clever. But what? I took it to heart.
Yeah.
Tossed and turned last night before I could go to bed because of that. And I'm thinking about something like Dorito McChicken for sure.
Yeah.
So, it's a great Twitter handle.
Submit your Twitter handles. Benny's thinking about changing it up. So submit those in. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and look at where the Brewers might try to improve the team for the rest of the season, try to make a push for the Central and going into the postseason. Before we do that, let me tell you about Credit Karma. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. Why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping that they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone, find any make and model and any kind of auto part that you need. There are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? Just head on over to rockauto.com right there on your phone, search for the parts you need, buy them, have them shipped to you, and just sit back and wait for them to arrive. And while you're there, do us a favor, write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. Again, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So Vinny, I want to talk a little bit about the kind of the future of this Brewers team. And I mean future as in the second half of this season, what they need to do to improve this team. Because going into tonight, Monday night, when we're recording, I mean, this team is atop the division, depending on how that game goes between the Cubs and the Padres. Currently, the Padres are on top. So we're looking at a good possibility of entering Tuesday with the Brewers leading the NL Central. We've talked about it for a while now. I thought coming into the season, this was the best team in the NL Central, and the pitching staff have been even better than expected. The offense has been worse than expected, but the pitching staff has been so good, they've kind of made up for that. But what are the areas of weakness for this Brewers team that you think they need to focus on in order to win this division and make a run in the postseason?
Every time someone tries to predict what Stearns is going to add to this roster, historically over the last 5 years, it's like completely the opposite. So like everyone thought the outfield depth was good. And then Stearns goes ahead and signs JBJ, who I would argue has been a very valuable asset to the team. And just in terms of the reliability with the defense, we saw what JB, or we saw Willy Adames addition at shortstop defensively has done for this group, just that reliability. Same thing, I think, with JBJ, the reliability to play defense in center field, especially with Lokane being hurt so many times this year already. So, again, I think we'll predict some things here, and then, you know, I think maybe Stearns does the complete opposite, but he's made some good moves, so you can't fault him. But I think middle relief, as we talked about, I think someone's got to step up. I think there'll be some kind of lower level type, cheaper, quote unquote, cheaper moves that will be made. You know, I think he's been pretty good at those historically. You know, the Joaquin Soria's, Drew Pomeranz kind of cost a little bit, but I don't know if he'll make a move like that. It'll cost him a big prospect like that. He's just not been willing to do that and leverage the future. Smaller pieces though, or pieces that they don't believe in and kind of given up on, I do see. But I don't think Dubon, when they acquired Pomeranz last year or 2 years ago, was the guy that they gave up on. That one stung a little bit, I think. But Pomeranz was brilliant in the bullpen. So I think middle relief. Also think maybe like first base. Just kind of throwing that out there. Just kind of like a more stable first base piece. I think they're set at short. They're set at second base. You know, I don't think he'll go acquire a third baseman, because I think Travis Shaw, Arias, Daniel Robertson. He made an adjustment that I like. I think they'll just get by with some platoon pieces, but maybe first base and middle relief. I'm throwing darts at the board at this point, but. I like thinking outside the box with this stuff, and first base perhaps is kind of an outside the box move.
Yeah, well, your darts are going right towards the target, Vinny, because the Brewers are last in the league in WAR at first base. So that is definitely an area for improvement there. They're also 27th in the league in WAR at third base. So this is, I mean, those are the two positions for me that need to be addressed. They're the same positions that needed to be addressed this past offseason, but like we talked about, there weren't a lot of great options on the market, you know, in the free agent market at those positions, but they continue to be a major concern, a major problem for this team. Obviously, Keston not producing like we thought he would, you know, hurts in that regard. They were hoping he would be that first baseman to step up and bring the power to the corner infield spot. You knew you'd have to live with some defensive inefficiencies there. But him not producing obviously is hurt. So it remains that those two corner infield spots are big weaknesses on this team. Again, I think they're set at short. The Adames trade, you know, has been worked out unbelievably so far. Wong has been a great signing. Obviously got to get Yelich going. Abby's been solid all year. JBJ has been good defensively, and I believe he'll get it going at the plate at some point. If not, hopefully Lokane comes back and is able to give you something. Omar Narvaez has been great behind the plate. So again, I think those positions are well taken care of, at least as good as they can be right now. It's the corner infield spots. That's got to be addressed. And then the middle relief, like you said, that's always something that teams in a playoff hunt are going to be looking to improve. You know, you traded J.P. Pyrhosen and Drew Rasmussen, which were, you know, those two big middle relief arms there. And you got somebody in Adames who, again, has, you know, helped kind of jumpstart this 12-3 run that they're on. But at the same time, I think you're going to need some help in that bullpen. You know, we talked about the fact that maybe Aaron Ashby is somebody who comes up and, you know, solidifies that a little bit and kind of gives the bullpen a boost later in the year. But I still think they need to go out and get a high leverage late inning reliever. Trevor Richards, who they got back in the Adames trade, is not that guy, in my opinion. You know, right now you're really counting on Boxberger, Devin Williams, Josh Hader, and Brent Suter, who's been kind of up and down this year as well, is kind of your high leverage relievers. I think they need one more kind of big arm for those middle innings to kind of bridge the gap. So those are my three things right there on my wish list. Obviously, as a fan, you know, your wish list is probably bigger than what will actually happen. But if they can improve those three areas, I think that would obviously be a huge boost to this team. We'll take another quick break and then come back and expound upon that a little bit more, and not just what they need to do to win the division, but how that looks like in trying to form a postseason winner. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And even with the NFL season over, you got the NBA and NHL in their playoffs right now. Really exciting time to be a sports fan. Obviously, you got Major League Baseball season in full swing. But BetOnline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% a welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Vinny, you're talking there about the fact that, you know, you got Travis Shaw, you got Luis Rios, you got Daniel Robertson, and that's great. I think the Brewers could get through the regular season, you know, with those guys and kind of piecing it together. You know, we were talking beforehand, you know, how do they build this lineup to win in the postseason? Because, you know, it's a team that's been to the postseason several years in a row now. They have the starting pitching, you know, we talk about all the time to win in the postseason. And I think really surprise some people. But they definitely need some help offensively. You know, what, and obviously we don't exactly know who all is going to be available. What's the type of player that this team needs? Because just candidly speaking, I don't think those three guys you just mentioned are guys who can get it done in the postseason. You know, maybe Travis Shaw, he has that experience. Maybe trust him a little bit. But what's the type of player that this Brewers team, you know, needs to be looking for, you know, to improve those areas that we talked about, not just for the regular season, but to give them a shot in the postseason?
Well, what the key is to understand that the Brewers are the reason why I keep saying this, I keep tweeting it out, I keep talking about it. The team is built for a run in the postseason because of why? Because they have three absolute studs at the top of the rotation in Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. And then they also have, you know, I believe in Adrian Hauser is going to continue to develop and continue to learn how to be consistent on a day, on a start-to-start basis. So you have three for sure, possibly a fourth. That's a recipe to get you deep into games when you're facing starters with similar type stuff, with similar type success, and a similar type track record against playoff teams, right? So playoff teams have really good starting pitchers at the top of their rotation. And that's the reason why, and I make the point of, like, you watch the A's win 100 games every single year and then get bounced from the playoffs in a 5-game series, because they're just kind of built for taking advantage of, like, other teams' fourth and fifth starters. So you see huge win totals and huge run differentials over the course of the season that just, it's not conducive to the old adage, is the cliche is good pitching beats good hitting every day of the week. So you have a really good lineup that can hit homers, but they can't manufacture a few runs against a tough against Corbin Burns, say, or Brandon Woodruff. They're going to get beat. They're going to get bounced from the playoffs early. That's why the Brewers, just because of the fact that they have such horses at the top, and let's not forget Josh Hader. I mean, the game is over in 8 innings. That is conducive to going deep in the playoffs. So what do they need? They need, I like your point. I like your question, Jake, about, like, what type of player do they need? Well, just first of all, and we're fast forwarding quite a bit, we're taking a lot for granted, but just from the standpoint that they make the playoffs, but, like, Christian Yelich, you see every team that makes deep runs and wins a World Series. You just take, like, a look at the Nationals when they won a couple of years ago. They had Juan Soto, like a Christian Yelich type bat that can anchor your lineup and it doesn't matter who's on the mound. If he's hot, it doesn't matter who's on the mound. So you need him to be, you need Yelly to be Yelly. And then you need other pieces that can just kind of give really good at bats. And I know at times we've seen that from this group, right? We've seen Abisail Garcia give really good at bats and hit good pitching. We've seen, you know, flashes from it from Willy Adames, flashes from it from Luis Urias. So Tyrone Taylor, a guy like Tyrone Taylor is perfect for a playoff run, I think, because the kid doesn't strike out much. He's got a simple approach. This is an exciting conversation for me because it's like, you know what, you line this team up with like the Washington Nationals from a couple years ago, and it's like, it's not much different, right? And you made that point early on in the season, Jake. So
I'm a pretty wise guy,
guys like so. That. Yeah. Guys like that, I think are going to get it done.
Yeah. No, we talked about it all the time, even coming into the season. You know, this team strikes out too much. I hate to just kind of be that blunt about it, but they do. And it's not, you know, not conducive to winning baseball, in my opinion. They still have the fourth highest strikeout percentage in all of baseball right now. I get it. The Rays have the second worst as well, and they're still, you know, producing enough to win. But I want to see more competitive bats. I want to see more bats in the lineup that are going to give, you know, like you said, a competitive at bat every time in the postseason. You know, that's kind of what they need. That's what I'm looking for up and down the lineup. I just don't see that consistently enough. But like we talked about earlier, a lot of it's just because the guys who do hit like that have been so banged up. I mean, Wong and Yelich and Kane, those are they're those types of hitters that are going to give you a professional bat every time out there. And they just haven't been in the lineup enough to do that. You know, I look out here at the names, MLB trade rumors, they listed out their 40 MLB trade candidates right now. And really not a ton at the corner infield.